I'd like to call this.
I don't have any kind of questions.
Yeah. You all ready, Ron?
Okay.
I'd like to call the Jobs and Economic Development Finance Committee to order. And while we're at it, let's pass the minutes of the last meeting, which is February 16th. Ernie, did you read all those minutes?
I'm
thoroughly informed?
I can move them, though.
Okay. Representative Liger moves the minutes of February 16th. All in favor of those? Any additions or corrections? All in favor of Representative Liger's motion to pass the minutes of February 16th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Representative Erdahl. Representative Swedinski, didn't you say you wanted to move this bill?
I did.
It's
so moved.
1687.
Move 1687.
Okay. Motion has been, bill's been moved. Representative Erdahl, tell us all about Cosmos and do it quickly. Everybody appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Usually, I just do a simple little bill.
That'd be a good idea today.
This time, well, really, have your Kleenex. Is there a Kleenex?
It's a red folder, everybody.
Because I have a sad and dread.
No, it isn't either. It's
Cosmos.
Rogers.
Southwestern Meeker County, just a little town, 493 people, founded in 1879. Mr. Hayter, who was the founder, called it the Cosmos because it was going to be the cosmos of the galaxy. He had plans for the University of Cosmos, which, of course, never happened. Instead, if you remember the story of Job in the Old Testament.
Mr. Chair, point of personal privilege.
Representative Mahoney, love to hear it.
You know, sometimes when a bill is all in order, and the longer it takes an author to explain it, the more votes he loses.
I think.
Just, I wanted to make sure I was remembering.
Mr. Chairman, I can echo that. I'm staying voting on that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Under the assumption some of you were prepared to vote no anyway, I do need to quickly now go through some of the difficulties that have been bestowed upon Cosmos. Think of Job in the Bible here. A few years back, Cosmos had its water supply condemned. They were then instructed that they had to put up a new water tower. They didn't want to do that because of the expense. They asked the state of Minnesota if instead they could buy a bottled water system for every resident in the town and just keep giving them bottled water. The state said no, they couldn't do that. They had to do the new water tower. So they put in the new water tower, turned it on, and then the water pressure blew out the main water main in 18 places. They now have to dig up Highway 4, replace the water main, and replace the highway. That's just one incident that happened a few years back. In the last year or so, the library burned to the ground. It's gone. The community and senior center was condemned because of mold and torn down. The biggest business in town on Main Street, covered over a block of Main Street, burned to the ground. This, by the way, provided that business provided the costuming for the movie Dances with Wolves. The city council meets in a room about the size of four telephone booths, and the school is slated to close. Cosmos needs your help. They just want to have a little community center that has a senior center and a library and their city hall meeting place, just a little $600,000 to help out a little town that's fallen on a lot of bad luck. Do you need the Kleenex?
No.
Okay.
Representative Howes would like to know if you have matching money for this project.
You're correct. I would like to know
that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the question, Representative Howes. I met with them last week and told them that I would be seeking, and I put in requests for everything that we can think of to find money. And they will have some funding, of course, from the city, but they need they have their hands out here and there for whatever they can get, and that's where we are right now, making the request here, but also we will be looking into other sources as well.
Representative Erdahl, I think Cosmos sounds like part of our heritage. Do you have any other sources to get the matching money?
I don't think out of legacy funding, if that's but there, I think there may be some other things. We are looking into that, and I hope that we can find something.
Yeah.
But this is one of the sources that, you know, if you could, whatever you could do.
Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Erdahl, is this in, this is in Meeker County?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leidiger, yes, it is.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, has the county been approached? We've done many projects in Carver County, and the county has taken the lead on a lot of these, and I'm just curious as to what the county is saying about it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Leidiger, the economic development has been contacted, yes.
Any results?
Nothing yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Seeing anybody else have a question? Seeing no questions, Representative Swedinski renews his motion to have.
So moved.
1687 be laid over for possible inclusion in the capital investment bill.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know that...
I did use one Kleenex.
Yeah, good. Thank you. I know that you'll see it fit in your hearts to help out this poor little town.
Representative Murdoch. Ernie. Move this bill for possible inclusion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House File 2303 for possible inclusion to the omnibus bill.
Very well. Representative Murdoch, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Happy birthday late, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Another year older and deeper in debt.
I know about that.
Oh, so hope St. Peter doesn't call me because I've got bills to pass yet. Sorry about that. My apologies, Mr. Chair. We might need these too. Anyway, House File 2303 is a bonding request to assist the city of Wadena with infrastructure repairs. One side of the town is quite old, and infrastructure's water and sewer falling apart. The other side of town, infrastructure was damaged from the tornado, the F4 of almost 2 years ago. So I will turn this over to these folks here. Mr. Ed Kane, if you want to start, introduce yourself to the committee and start.
Very good.
Welcome to committee. Give your name for the record, will you? Good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you, sir. My name is Ed Kane, and I'm working with the city of Wadena to try to help them salvage some of what the tornado left for them. And this is a rather unique project. And joining me here is Jade Berube, who is the engineer for the city, and Brad Swenson, who is the city administrator. I'll just briefly go through this. I should first of all clarify this by saying that last year we introduced a bill for the older section of the town, as Representative just mentioned. This year, since then, well, there was a study completed because they found that there was a lot of seepage into the sewer system. And so they went in, began to look at that, and they come to find out that the tornado, that the trees with the roots wrapping around the pipes and the foundations of the houses that were moved and destroyed, resulted in creating cracks and misplacements of the sewer pipe. The sewer pipe that was, when it was put in, some of it was put in as early as 1930, so some of it could be as old as 80 years old by now. They have that time it was clay pipe that was placed in there, and in that clay pipe the sections were about either 2 to 4 feet, and as a result there was lots of room for shifting when the tornado hit there and pulled the trees down. There are I'm leaving with you some materials. I'm not going to certainly try to read through everything here, but there's about 13 or 14 pages that explain what happened during that time, and how the city then moved ahead and did a television study of the inside of the sewer pipe. The one question that will come up, I'm sure, is what's FEMA thinking about all this? FEMA was approached to help resolve the problem with that. They were not too interested in looking at it. They said that they had never set, they had a practice, at least in this area, of not dealing with the sewer pipes as a part of the FEMA project in tornadoes. So anyway, they felt that this was not a they weren't very excited to help us out in that area. The other item that they did, we will be submitting this project to FEMA again to see if they will respond and see if we can get some help from them at that time. And perhaps this would be a good time, Mr. Chairman. We had a question that we wanted to ask. If we receive bonding funds for this project, and then FEMA came through with funding for the sewer project, how would we deal with that?
Everybody's, the way I understand it, now this is just my understanding, is that you would have to pay that back to the state, and we'd use the FEMA money to deal with it. It'd probably go to the PFA, and one of Minnesota's finest banks, and they would take the money and put it back in their stockpiles for someone else.
Very good.
However, it would be nice if they would let you use that for a match or something, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
Something that we will have to check out before it goes to capital investment.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The second project, the second phase of this project is, of course, the southeast section. Both of these sections are in the, one in the southeast and one in the southwest. One of the problems that came up with FEMA is that they claim that the trees, the roots from the trees would never travel as far as from the boulevards to the sewers in the middle of the streets. I think that probably none of them had ever lived in a home anywhere, because I think we all recognize that's an issue that certainly will happen. The television pictures of the inside of the pipe show definitely too that there was a problem with the roots. I am going to total cost of this project is going to both these east and the west, southeast and southwest. One is an $8 million project, the other is about a $6 million project. we're asking for 50% of those funds. If this committee and other committees feel that this is something that would be worthwhile, then we will deal with we will look at a variety of sources for matching funds. We have some local bonding authority assessments to some of the homeowners will be imminent. Other loans and other non-state grants and any other appropriate sources. We have also filed, at least for the southeast portion, that's the older section, we have filed with PFA for that, for funds from that too. And we have not heard at this present time, I think.
You know where they put you on the priority list?
Yes, we're on the priority list. Right now, we're eligible to receive low-interest loan dollars for the sanitary sewer or the Clean Water Revolving Fund. We are not eligible. We did not meet the cutoff range for the Drinking Water Revolving Fund this year. But we are on both project priority lists.
Would you identify yourself so we can tell you we're here 55 years from now?
My name is Jade Burby. I'm the city's engineer.
Thank you. Thank you for that answer, too.
Yeah.
Are you done?
Just one other statement. On page 5, I think, of your document that you have, page 4, one of the things that that was mentioned by FEMA was that there was that the increase in the flow into the treatment plant was not sufficient to cause the problems that we were talking about. The study that was done shows that on page 4 of your document here shows the record for the past from January 2009 through August 2010. It shows at the top when the tornado hit, and so you can see that the water flowing into the water treatment plant was probably twice as much after the tornado as it was prior to the tornado. This leads us to the problem of that we may have a great deal of difficulty with maintaining the pumps and maintaining the water treatment plant in an appropriate manner. One official told me that if you allow this to continue on, you can very likely will wipe out your entire water treatment plant, which is a $30 to $40 million replacement job. We do not want that to happen. I'm going to ask Jade now to show a few pictures of if there's any questions, well, I would be happy to respond.
Thank you, Ed. Right now, I just kind of want to start it off a little bit with a few pictures of the aftermath of the tornado. The area in red, it's maybe a little bit difficult to see on these, but that's the direction that the tornado went through town, heading through the southwest from the southwest to the northeast. Went through an area considered residential, multifamily, institutional, commercial, minor commercial, the high school, the Minnesota State Community and Technical College were also in the damage path. This is one of the residential areas that was hit by the tornado. You'll see here in the center, that was the Wadena Deer Creek High School. To the northeast of that, which is right here, we have a Leaf River Ag facility that was completely demolished. And over here we have the city's former hockey arena that was damaged. On the bottom of the page here, we have the Minnesota State Community and Technical College, which also received substantial HVAC damage and other roofing damage. Again, the hockey arena, difficult to see here, but this is one of the city's sanitary sewer lift stations. This used to be a tin roof that was, as you can see, drug across the surface of the ground, demolishing the city's sanitary sewer lift station top. Again, the high school, can see a propane burn here. This was right after the tornado that's next to the Leaf River Ag facility. Again, some more of the residential and multifamily units that were damaged as a result of the tornado. Again, this is some of the pictures of the city's infrastructure. Right away, initial cleanup was priority number one. Fix the problems, make sure people are safe. After the priority one, number one was completed, we started looking at issues, as Ed was stating, regarding sanitary sewer flows and other utilities. This is a graph that Ed was explaining. Red would be the city's sanitary sewer flow. Green would be the city's water pump. Typically, as you can see, before the tornado, we had significant or a higher concentration of water pump than sewer pump. Following the tornado, as you can see, the red is nearly double the green, or sewer pump was nearly double the water pumped. And this has continued from that time. You'll see this is through the majority of last year. As Ed also stated, the existing sanitary sewer system is made of vitrified clay pipe, has many joints, as he stated, and substantial root growth. Root growth is common in these sandy loam soils that the city of Wadena has. You can see on the left there a typical root growth on some of the sanitary sewer system that is there. The effect of losing the trees, we had pipes pulled by the loss of trees. We had joints open on one side of the pipe and entirely closed on the other. The year after the tornado, after the trees were removed, we started seeing the removal of the roots or the loss of the roots. So we started seeing more openings in the joints of the pipe. Often the, as you can see on the right-hand picture there, water gushing into the side of the sanitary sewer. This here was a picture of the damage assessment map. This was the initial damage assessment map that was done after the tornado. We knew that there were issues with structures, and the question was, what did these structures do to the sanitary sewer system? Well, water or sewer services are often plumbed into the sanitary mains. In some older structures, they're built of a thicker pipe, and the point of where it could not go any further with the sanitary sewer service wise was at the main. So you can see this center section here was pushed into the main by about 2 inches. So on the other side of that Y, we have a pipe that's up 2 inches, and on this side, we have a pipe that's up 2 inches, and the water's got to flow through there somehow. So the question is, how much water are we getting from the ground? Again, more push and pulled wise. So on this map here, you'll see this would be considered the southwest area. That is the area damaged by this tornado. The southeast area was the one the city had requested for funding last year. An issue to bring up regarding this is all of the southwest area flows through the southeast area to get to the city's wastewater treatment facility. So we have to start with at least a portion of the southeast to get the tornado damage completely resolved. Again, these are some of the costs that Ed has explained. This here is the cost that the city has already spent determining the issues. They've spent a significant amount of money on televising the sanitary sewer system, infiltration and inflow analysis, southeast infrastructure analysis, as well as additional costs at the wastewater treatment plant. Costs for running clean water takes different treatment methods than wastewater. Again, this is the total cost of all the projects at the southeast and the southwest, the $14.2 million for which the city is requesting $7 million. And again, as stated, PFA has been contacted, and currently we are on the fundable list for a low-interest loan for sanitary sewer only.
Did you comment to PFA that they had neglected to include things like this in their calculations?
No, I have not. The Southwest was actually, we have not applied for Southwest funding yet. The funding has been for Southeast. We did not want to apply for PFA funding before we knew what FEMA was going to do with their end. So it will probably be applied for this coming year.
So we don't know if FEMA is going to cover this or not. Okay. Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have several questions, so bear with me. To the witness, and I don't remember your name, you mentioned you're on the list for the sanitary sewer. When you say you're on the list, how far down the list are you? Do they have enough money currently to get to you If not, how much money is that account going to need this year to get to you?
We have been told that we are on the fundable list. So there's the PPL, and then they have a cutoff range at a set number of points. We're above the cutoff range for sanitary sewer. We're below the cutoff range for drinking water.
Have you talked to Terry Kuhlman a great deal about this or not? Mr. Chairman, sorry.
I personally have spoken to the local loan officer, and they have indicated that if we would like to do a portion of the sanitary sewer, they can offer a low-interest loan, but they cannot for drinking water or anything else.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend for them to go talk to Terry Kuhlman, find out from him where you are on the list, find out from him with the drinking water where you would be on the fundable if they got X amount of dollars through the bonding bill this year or not. Find those things out. Now, Mr. Chairman, I only see Representative Clark as a Minneapolis rep here today. If Representative Clark could respond, did Minneapolis get anything out of the last year's bonding bill that you know of for their tornado damage to any municipal, or maybe staff knows? Because I don't recall.
Representative Clark?
I don't think that's sure. We got anything from the bonding bill. We got federal dollars. I don't think we got any state dollars. I could be wrong.
We'll find that out.
The city came up with some dollars.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't recall any from last year. But I guess I would like staff during the next few days to look and see if we've ever funded municipality because of tornado damage. If we haven't, are we then going to be setting some sort of precedent that we might not want to go to? And then the final bit of advice, again, I stress Terry Kuhlman highly because that might be your go-to guy. Then also, if we do fund it, or Terry Kuhlman through PFA funds it, what would FEMA think? Would they say, we don't have to worry about this now because the state's covered it, so we're going to steer our money somewhere else? Can you survive long enough for FEMA to make that decision? And if they say yes, great. If they say no, then hustle back here or deal with Terry Kuhlman. Those are just some questions and a little bit of advice for them.
Yes, go ahead. Give your name for the record, too.
My name is Bradley Swenson. I'm a city administrator. Mr. Chairman, Representative House, try to answer your questions, or mainly the last one. We did apply to FEMA for funding on this, and they spent a lot of time trying to find reasons not to fund it. They had a forester write a report and tell them that it's not possible for roots to get from a boulevard to a sewer line. They won't travel that far. The pictures pretty much show that's not true. They spent time saying that they normally, or in the past, they have not funded these type of projects. They've funded some flood projects, but they normally don't fund infrastructure projects underground.
Not true.
They talked a lot about groundwater, saying that in the last couple of years our groundwater has increased because we've had a wetter cycle. But they didn't have an answer for why the flow changed, doubling the day after the tornado. So they got back to us and basically said we just don't feel that you've proved your case yet. And we said, well, what's our next step? And they said, well, you're going to have to do a lot more documentation proving that roots can get to sewer lines, proving that the groundwater didn't, you know, basically make arguments for the arguments that they tried to make the other way. And we talked to them about having to spend more money doing more research to try to answer that, and they said, well, if you don't want to appeal it, that's fine, but if you want to appeal it, you're going to have to get us more information on what size were the trees, where were they located in conjunction with the lines that are worse, how did the roots get there, how does the inflow of... So basically, we've hired another engineer to try to help our case. They went as far as saying they wanted all the as-built plans of all the sewers. You know, we're going back into the 30s and 40s and having to find these as-built plans and get them to them. They want all the copies of the televising tapes. Then they said they would send that into Chicago to be reconsidered by people that have more expertise than what they have here. So we are pursuing that. My history with FEMA is they don't move very fast. We've had very good luck with FEMA. They've worked with us very well, but they don't move real fast. So if we have to wait for them to give us an answer, it might be another year or longer before we'd have an answer, the way I look at it. I don't think that they would look at it negatively if we got the state to give us some money to help with this project, and maybe the appropriation would say that if FEMA comes through, that has to be the first funding source. But I don't think that we can put this off very long just because of the amount of water that's going into our sewer plant, and we're wearing out the sewer plant prematurely. We're putting that much more pressure on the pumps and everything else. So hopefully it helps a little bit.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, I would strongly recommend you talk to Perry Kuhlman and maybe he can figure something out for you. I guess Representative Mahoney, I would think they'd want to call their congressperson and maybe one of the U.S. senators and say, how come we're not getting help here? You know, I was born and raised in South Minneapolis, and I know that those roots go in the sewer lines, and you got to auger them out every 8 to 10 years. All the time, unless you put your sewer lines under a lake somewhere 3 miles away from the homes, the tree roots get there. So I would recommend you call your congressman and a senator. You work on that. We'll work on it from this end. If you need a letter from us to that congressperson or senator, we're more than willing to do that and work through those angles. While you do that, we'll lay the bill over and consider it.
Representative Leidiger.
My question has been answered already.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I've said this for a good number of years. We have many small towns that come in here looking for help with their water and sewer facilities, and I'm fine with that. I think Minnesota is a rich state and a diverse state, and we should help our the towns that we have. But you... in your documentation, you are doing in-place replacement with the vinyl pipe that will be cured and become a pipe in and of itself. I've always known that to be kind of the last gasp before the pipe collapses. So have you got a plan that you can bring forth that in 10 years and in 15 years, how you're going to replace that? Because you're going to have to. Once you get to that curing in place pipe, and you're going to be back here, and there's no guarantee that we're going to have money at that time any more than there's a guarantee we got money now.
The cast in place piping is only for a very small portion of the total project, approximately $430,000 worth. And the reason that is being looked at is the pipes themselves are actually in decent shape. They're polyvinyl chloride. They're not the clay pipes. So we aren't trying to buy another 10 years. We're just trying to maintain them from the 20, 30 years that they've been in place. So.
And then, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mahoney.
Then the second part of that question is, you're saying that they used a lot of the clay pipe, which they did in many parts of the world and in the state, around the country. Do you have a plan in place over the next 25 and 30 years to replace that clay pipe and how you're going to pay for it? Because that is something that you have to do. You're going to have to replace that clay pipe.
Yeah.
They just assessed my home. I'm still paying off the assessment, I should say, from when they replaced it in front of mine.
Mr. Representative, all of the clay pipe currently in this plan is to be replaced by open cut with polyvinyl chloride sanitary sewer piping, so it would be completely new pipe, so there would be no clay replaced.
No, Mr. Chair, I meant throughout the rest of Wadena. because the town, if I remember, it's most of it was built in the 50s and 60s, so it's getting to be 40 and 60 years old.
Mr. Chair, Representative, what we've done over the years is about 10 to 15 years ago, we did do what we call our north side of town. We totally replaced all the infrastructure, streets, sewer, water, storm sewer. Our long-term plan is to go through the whole town in a timely manner, and that's where the southeast part of this project comes in. That's the next oldest section of town that needs to be replaced. And then we had this tornado that kind of wrecked our plans and added to our problems. And we probably wouldn't be here asking for money if we didn't have so many issues to deal with the tornado and other economic things that are happening. But when we start talking $14 million and looking at putting that on the local taxpayers with special assessments and tax burden, plus all the other public facilities that we've had to replace that haven't been funded by some other agency, and we've had some of that. Most of it, we've been very fortunate with insurance and FEMA and help from the state to be able to get through a lot of this, but we just feel it's too big of a tax burden to impose on our taxpayers at this point in time. Is a lot of what we're looking for is just some help to ease the pain. They're still going to have fairly large assessments by paying for half of this project, which is going to be a real burden for them. But.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, Representative Lager renews his motion to have House File 2303 be laid over for possible inclusion in our capital investment bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Next, we have House File 1324, and Representative Lemire will move House File 1324 for possible inclusion in our bonding bill.
I will so move, Mr. Chair.
Representative Crawford, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Roger Crawford. I represent District 8B in the House here. One of the cities I represent is the city of Braham, a very unique city. It's bordered by four counties, Chisago, Isani, Kanabic, and Pine, fairly economically depressed area. And what House File 1324 is hoping for is for you to consider $221,250 in a bonding project. It has multiple sources of funding, and I've asked a couple people from Braham to come here and explain the project. First is Ms. Patty Lynn and Ms. Dorothy Johnson.
Welcome to our committee. Would you give your name for the record as you give your testimony?
My name is Patricia Lind.
I'm Dorothy Johnson.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of the City of Braham and our Braham Community Center project, I've got a little story to tell you. I thought maybe a little bit of background and then go into what we need and why we're here today. The City of Braham, like Representative Crawford said, we sit right between four counties, and it's been kind of a good thing, but there's also a challenge because we're kind of equally represented by many different jurisdictions. We've challenged with some poverty. We have a low-income area, pretty significant problems. Back in early 1980, Rudy Perpich came to Braham and had a dream team and came and reviewed our town, tried to see what we need to do to get going again, and the assessment was that we needed a community center. Unfortunately, we can dream and have ideas of what we want, but unless there's really an action plan, nothing gets accomplished. In 2007, we had an initiative foundation community development project. The community leaders met and we worked through it again. A community center was one of the highest priorities. In 2009, we had the Horizons Poverty Prevention Task Force did a project in Bram, and again, a community center was one of the highest priorities. We don't have a library. We don't have a community center. We don't have any community meeting space. Of a town of about 1,700 people, it's been something that we've always been challenged, and we've got a lot of ideas and a lot of dreams for us to move forward, but we have this inability to have a meeting place. We don't have any place for the youth. We don't have any place for our seniors. But things that we do have is we have a lot of organizations and wonderful people that have been working because we know this is a huge need. And it's kind of interesting, back in 1958, the State Star Tribune put an article in the paper about Bram and called it the town that refused to die because of cooperation. And that's what we bring here today, is we're not coming here to ask for money to help us with our city water and sewer. But alone, we are coming with about $1.6 million that we have put together by ourselves, by individual donors, organizations, loans, and organization called Tuzentuck. And what we need is a little bit of help with the infrastructure to make this community center possible. The city of Bram doesn't have the whereabouts to do this. The city isn't financially able to help. What they have done is they've given us the acreage of land for us to put the facility on. It's going to be located on the corner of those four counties, not only serving Bram, but Isani, Chisago, Pine, and Kanabec residents, close to Highway 65, a great location for a lot of people in east central Minnesota. But because the city of Bram can't do it, we needed somebody to stand up and say that I can do it. And Tuzentuck, it's a used-a-bit store in Bram. It's a 22-year-old business that donates. Everybody in the community, east central Minnesota, bring their stuff there. People sell it. Everybody's volunteer. And they have a tremendous business and an amazing growth. And they have spearheaded the project. They stood up 3 years ago and said, we will be the champions for the community center project. They put forward $100,000 seed money that we have been using to accomplish everything we have up to date. We have a full set of plans. We have all the site surveys done. We have the civil engineering accomplished. We are ready to go. We have a shovel-ready project. But even so, our community said, little town of Bram, having us put together about $1.8 million is a big project, and we're hoping that we could help bonding just the water extension and the sewer extension to our building, which is just a city block or so past the end of our water line, as well as some trails to the building. Our school district, our high school and our elementary school lay across a main blacktop road, and the community center will be across another blacktop road. And currently there are no sidewalks that connect the schools. So the kids walk on the highway, and the kids would have to walk on the highways or cross the highways to get to the community center. So those are the two components of that we're asking for help with in the bonding bill. A little bit more about Tuzentuck. I know a lot of community centers are in financial challenges, and I want you to feel confident that we have an amazing infrastructure of leaders behind the Tuzentuck organization that's going to make this happen. We have, in the last 3 years since we started this, we secured a $600,000 deed grant that expires in 2012. That's why it's really imperative that we get our shovels in our ground this spring. And with your help with a successful bonding proposal, we can get shovels in the ground. This project is expected to create 9,880 man hours of work at Davis-Bacon wage rate, which would be extremely successful and important for our community. We are economically challenged with this lot of downturn with our construction industry. Again, over the last 3 years, we've completed a needs assessment, so the building is completed with the stuff that we need in our town. We have the stuff for the youth, the stuff for the seniors. We are going to have a kitchen in there for fundraising for all the little organizations that go on in Bram that need a good commercial kitchen. We did the feasibility study to show that this project is possible. We've been really busy. It's ready to go. Not only are we working with Tuzintuck, the thrift store, with the leadership, we have many other partners. We have the school that's partnering with us on many parts of the project. We have private donors. We have a retired school teacher that gave $100,000 to the project.
Wow.
We have individual ladies and gentlemen from our town, and I think our average income is probably like around $25,000. We've raised almost another $100,000 just by cans around town and lunches and meatball dinners. So we've got a lot of stuff. We're going, and again, I think we are the town that refuses to die. We are cooperation, and we are making this, going to make this happen. But even then, what I'm saying is that we've done a lot, and I think if you could help us this with this last little bit and helping us with the city sewer and water to make it go, I think it's going to be really important to us. Let me see what else I want to say here.
Representative Mahoney.
So I don't mean to, I mean this somewhat as a compliment. You know, most people come here with huge requests of like $12 million or $14 million, and they've only raised $150,000. Are you coming here telling us that you've raised almost $1 million?
We have a significant loan in plan, but we, because of finance, two lined up financial things, but that's in the packet.
Lined up almost all of your funding, and you're ready to go, and you need the $200,000. And
so
it's pretty much a $1 to $8 worth of your money, $1 of eight state money to $1, $8 of your money.
And we're, Mr. Chairman.
No, thank you.
Yes. I would like to say that we have one person that donated $100,000, and the rest of it is we've raised through a lot of donations. How many was it individually and organizations?
We have 40 organizations that have contributed, I think over 200 or 300 individuals that have made significant contributions.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And it shows a wide range of support, but also everybody realizes how bad we need this. Like the one town ahead of us, two ahead of us said, well, our library burnt and our community center is condemned because of mold. Well, we don't even have those to start with. So we're starting, and we haven't had those, and so, you know, we feel like we really are trying to put this together and do it well. Like, some people look at our plans and think, oh, gosh, maybe it's a little bit too big. Well, we know that everybody's been working now and wants something to do it right and do it for the next 100 years. We're over a 100-year-old community, and we plan on putting this together well that can be used by East Central Minnesota residents for a long time. The other thing is that we really see that is it an opportunity for jobs training. Our school doesn't, we don't have the library community center, so we don't have internet access for our kids after school. You know, Braham's a big sports town, basketball, 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 but the kids that aren't in basketball don't have a lot of activities to do. So we'll have a library with internet activity and internet access for them. Plus, we really hope to build to bring in job training activities. Our kids aren't going to have jobs if they aren't trained. And so we're hoping to put on sessions and educational, get the kids on the computers, and we have a lot of dreams. So this is about a 10% is what we're hoping. You know, if we can put 90% in, if we could get help for the last 10%, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The most important thing about this is that, you know, our deed grant runs out.
Is that a small cities grant?
Well, it is a $600,000 grant.
Was that a small cities grant?
Pardon?
Was that a small cities grant from deed?
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big ticket part of this.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't really know too much about it other than what has already been said. That
maybe we can talk to deed to see if they need an extension if it's necessary.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I think...
Sheldon Johnson, lead.
Could I add one?
Basketball for Graham, huh? Well, I'm going to have to tell Sheldon Johnson what a great move. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, okay. We distributed some red folders here,
uh-huh. Yeah.
And I sure wish you'll open them up and look at them,
mm-hmm.
Because it's really, we've got everything in there,
mm-hmm.
And if you read it, you take time to read it, you'll understand our project.
Mm-hmm. And I think the final last point is that it's been pretty cool. Bram has been really stagnant as far as economic development. I don't think there's been any new businesses. But since this project has been so close to getting done, our city administrator is getting calls for people like from hotels and new businesses that are looking at coming to Bram because of it. So it's an opportunity for more economic development.
Cool. Any questions from the members? Seeing none, Representative Lemire will renew his motion to have House File 1324 laid over for possible inclusion in our bonding bill. And thank you for the testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you
for
having us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And with that, Representative Dill, welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move House File 1855.
Very well.
Mr. Chairman, you know, the tower is famous for a lot of things. One thing is the first underground mine and first mine and mining activity and first railroad in the state to carry iron ore to the lakehead. It's famous for Lake Vermilion and all that it goes with Lake Vermilion, as it's actually at the head of Lake Vermilion on Highway 169. It's also famous because it is the host community for the Lake Vermilion State Park. And those three things, coupled with this project, which is a restoration of a waterway and a marina that originally existed within the town, within the city limits of the town, and beginning in about 1890, when the first marina activity and commerce began, in the city of Tower relative to Lake Vermilion, that marina, which is right downtown, I mean, it's within a walk of City Hall, and the river goes directly out to Lake Vermilion, served as a huge commerce point in the day back at the turn of the century for the resorts that offered tourism, as they do today. The resorts offer the tourism today for mail, because many residents lived out on the lake independently on islands and areas that were inaccessible by roads. It allowed for that land up in the north to be timbered, and for that wood to be brought to market here, so that communities like the Twin Cities could be built in Chicago, Illinois, and there and so forth. And there's actually, at one time, Mr. Chairman and members, there was actually a passenger steamboat service on the lake that originated right downtown in the city of Tower. Now, over the years, the marina commerce changed, and traffic patterns changed, and the river silted in to some degree, and the marina, the highway bridge that went across where the opening to the marina is, was too low for boats to go under it. Now, remember, there wasn't a highway like that back in the 1890s. And so in the process of this is the phase one and two of this project is about $14 million. And thus far, about $6 million has been found in terms of funding and in terms of development. And the highways have now been rerouted. Highway 169 has been completed. The bridge has been elevated. It's a major project, millions upon millions of dollars. Another highway has been rerouted, so it went around the marina. Other work has been done to constitute about $6 million worth of work. The project before us, phase two, is $8 million worth of work. And it continues to work on dredging of the harbor, construction of walls so the harbor is constituted and established, excavation and disposal of some of the material that has silted in, docks, boardwalks, and various infrastructure components that will then lead eventually to development of housing and new commerce and new access to the lake. Now, one thing I want to suggest is that the Lake Vermilion State Park, because it's going to be accessible by road, as well as the Sudan State Park, which are really today two into one, they're side by side, a considerable amount of this traffic are going to come into the community and launch their boats and go out onto the lake and access the state park from the lake. So there's a variety, as well as new commerce, new opportunity to build housing like condos and things of that nature surrounding the harbor, access by people going out onto the lake, Lake Vermilion, for its own purposes as well as the state park. This is really a critical project in the Northeast. Of the $8 million that this project is going to be costing phase two, we're requesting $4 million. There is presently in place $600,000 of the $8 million, and we have project proposals that are being brought forward or have brought forward to the LCCMR, again to DEED, the Federal Economic Development Agency, St. Louis County, and I'm certain that no project of this magnitude will ever be done without the help of the Army Resources and Rehabilitation Board, of which we've already visited them with a $3.2 million grant of the original $6.18 million. So if you can imagine, members, for Representative Dill to get $3.2 million out of Representative Rukavina's hide and Representative Moline's hide for a project, that has to tell you how serious this project really is, because those dollars are well competed for, as I'm certain you already know. So we have the mayor here, right here, Steve Abramson, and then we have the folks who get paid the big bucks here on the to engineer these kinds of things. Without them, the world would quit turning. And if you have any specific questions, I think that this panel would be happy to answer them for you.
Anybody have any questions? Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dill, I want to talk about the IRRRB. Now, wasn't it last year that we kept $60 million into that fund? We didn't pull that out. Couldn't they fund this thing in total?
Representative Dill.
It would not, and it's not customary. In fact, you didn't. I really don't want to get into the debate, particularly with this committee over the Doug Johnson Fund. We operate off of the interest that is generated by, for example, the Douglas Johnson Trust. And it would take many years, because we have many projects within the taconite relief area, it would take many, many years to raise enough interest, particularly at 1% of the fund or at 0.75%, of which we're currently earning through the State Board of Investment, on that amount of money to just fund this project alone, and there are many other projects. So as with everyone in this room that brings forward a proposal, we look to find complementary funds. And the IRRRB has led the way and blazed a trail right up to Tower, Minnesota, from the office in Eveleth with that first $3.2 million, which was a significant investment from the very funds that your group of funds that you're suggesting. And I suspect we'll continue to support this. But as with every project, we're out looking for additional assistance from other areas that will have benefit. For example, if DEED were to put in money into this project, we've identified and have targeted and have actually had a developer come, a significant developer in the state of Minnesota, come up to Tower and actually at one point make an offer on some land that didn't work out that surround the tower to do the marina to do potential investment. So that's the reason the DEED would participate. But the answer to your question is no, we don't have the money. The $60 million sounds like, oh, well, that'd be just a shoe-in to give the $6 million. First off, we can't spend the corpus or the underlying trust And secondly, off the return rates of return so low, we wouldn't be able to even contemplate any other project if we were to fund just this one.
I have a little question. You know, Lake Vermilion State Park is the newest state park we have in the state, and certainly I haven't had time to be there yet, but I plan on someday going there. Does the DNR, since they manage the state parks, do they have any ability to contribute any money to this effort?
Mr. Chairman, I do not believe so. This is not within, obviously, the boundaries of the state park. And I serve on the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Committee. This will be my 10th year. And I am not familiar with the DNR doing projects like this that are outside of, not on their land, not within their jurisdiction, not within a state. You know, they're outside the boundaries of a state park.
Representative Leidinger.
Well, I just want, there's substantially more dollars in the in the IRRRB than the 60. I mean, I think that was just that figure that we were going to pull out. But it isn't also continuously replenished because of the taxation on the taconite mining. I mean, that goes directly into that fund as well. From last numbers I looked at, it was close to $100 million and had that continuous replenishment. I just think that this is a great project, and it's something that those dollars were designed to fund. So, you know, I support that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to very briefly comment. Well, first off, to understand, I have been in the legislature for 10 years, and I've served as chair of the board for 2 years at the IRRRB. And I will be the last one to say that I have a full understanding of exactly every way that every formula that has been set up since the creation of the Iron Range Resources and the Taconite Relief Area and how it works. However, you must realize that that $100 million or the number that is not that much. It's more like in the neighborhood of $80 million ongoing revenue from taconite taxes. Comes in and is distributed on a formula. And it's distributed out to cities and towns and townships, and that consumes over $60 million of that number right there. So when we start to get down and start really boiling down and getting the maple syrup made into syrup, you don't quite have the picture that Representative Leininger painted that you had suggested. Again, we have already made a significant $3.2 million investment, and the only thing I could do here, because I'm defending myself and the project, is to ask Representative Moline, Mr. Chair, if she had any additional comments on this line of questioning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Leidinger. I would just remind you and the other members, again, that's local property tax money, just like Wadena raises local property tax money so that they can have a match for state funds. You know, we're still Minnesotans, so we shouldn't have to be completely self-sufficient. It's our local property tax dollars, just like we heard from Wadena that they put their local property tax dollars into it. So that's why we at the IRRRB do fund a lot of these projects, and we provide the matching grants to the state funds.
Well, one thing that you can definitely say about the IRRRB is their purpose in being, as far as I'm concerned, is to create economic development so when the taconite does run out, they have something there that they can count on in paying the tax dollars and making the area better. And to me, this was a very good use of the IRRRB's money because tourism, timber, and taconite, this is definitely tourism.
Well,
I'm learning so much about the IRRRB and Iron Range, I'm getting even dangerous.
Mr. Chairman,
last year helped.
You should probably run for District 6A, Mr. Chairman, because, I mean, anybody that has graphs now, taconite, timber, and tourism, has the basic understanding of being a legislator from that district. And you know, we've had the timber part has been knocked right out from underneath us. I mean, you know, there's only one mill running in the Northeast, and that's a paper mill of Boise Cascade. There's some down in Duluth, but, I mean, the logging, the small loggers, all those folks that lived in the small communities, they have essentially, by and large, evaporated, unless they're dependent upon Boise Cascade and International Falls. I mean, so now we're down to taconite and tourism, and that is the reason that this investment is so important into this particular project or projects like that in other areas is because we're trying to prop up a stool that had three good legs and now has two and an eighth legs, and so we're trying to make one stronger, and that's the purpose.
Well, I think, well, anybody else have any questions about this bill? Seeing no other questions.
Mr. Chair, I would like for our testifiers that didn't testify to actually identify themselves.
That way we know on the tape that they were here, so nobody will ever criticize them. Please give your name and tell us what you do.
My name is Steve Abrahamson. I'm the mayor of Tower. I'm also in the real estate business. I've been doing that for 20-some years, so I understand what tourism does do to an area like that what we're in. And if I may give you just a kind of a brief history of how this all came about. Representative Dill gave a pretty good description of the longevity of this channel. It's been there since the late 1890s. St. Louis County dredged the river twice over its lifetime. 1919, 1939. The federal government did a partial dredge back in 1969. But the project really started taking hold about 12 years ago. The city, the community of Tower and Sedan, we got together and we did a comprehensive plan. And part of that comprehensive plan is what is our niche in this economic area? And of course that was Lake Vermilion. Lake Vermilion was the biggest driver in our area other than the mines. But Tower is located basically in a tourist area. So in that comprehensive plan, it came forth that Tower would once again become the commercial hub of the, you know, the Cook, Lake Vermilion, Ely region. And with that, once we had accomplished that, we knew that this river project was the priority of the communities. So we went forth and we were able to secure some funds from the Army Corps to do what they called an initial appraisal. And this initial appraisal was to see if it was even worth doing such a project. And the Army Corps came up and they did their initial appraisal. And then at appraisal, it came back that for every dollar you spent, you'd get $1.32 back. So they felt that the project was very viable, more as a recreational project with some commercial application to it. So with that, we moved forward and started going out looking for funds. And in the process, we'd had to have several other economic viability studies, which all came out very positive. So, and I think that was one of the reasons why we were able to secure the funds that we have to date. It would be a huge asset to the Lake Vermilion, northeastern Minnesota area. The other part of this was that St. Louis County did what they called a new Lake Vermilion management plan, where they were trying to keep more commercial development off the lake. And of course, Tower has its public water and sewer was a prime place for that. So, with that, again, it all kinds of it fits into what the area and the region was looking to do, especially with the lake. And then the numbers were very good in all these studies. And this was way before the Vermilion State Park came forth. So, we were very happy to hear that because that's going to draw in many, many people over time. You know, they're looking anywhere from 125,000 to 400,000 people once the park gets up and running. So I think it absolutely is a great project. We've been able to, like Representative Dill said, we've got what I would call most of the infrastructure in place. I kind of always use the comment that you couldn't have had the space program if you didn't have a launch system. So this is really the launch system to recreate this harbor renaissance, if you will. These guys can maybe talk about some of the financing that has taken place. No, okay. So, you can introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Larson. I work for Short Elliott Hendrickson Engineering, and I do community development for them, primarily finding funds for projects like this. And I usually just introduce myself and pass a microphone on after Representative Dill has spoken. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Matt Bolf. I am the civil engineer of the project. I also work with Short Elliott Hendrickson, and we certainly appreciate your time and consideration of this project today.
I have one question. Since I've always wanted to grow up and live by Representative Dill. This river, is it navigable?
Mr. Chairman,
can you float a boat in it?
Mr. Chairman, yes. And when the harbor is done, you'll be able to do quite large boats, which will then access the private development that will come in phase three. I'm thinking, Mayor, up to give me an idea of the length, 30 feet plus?
I would say probably a 30-foot boat. Right now, the channel is used by houseboats, sailboats, and a little site. When we were dedicating the bridge, we had some guy with one of these formula boats with a 200 horsepower come up underneath the bridge, which was kind of a perfect photo op for at the time. So, yeah, it's actually very navigable right now. The city had at least boathouses right along the channel there for many years, but as part of the project, we had to remove those boathouses for dredging purposes. So, yes, it is very navigable.
Chair,
Representative Clark or just Leidiger, did you get your? Okay.
So, just a quick question. What's the distance between the New Harbor Marina and Lake Vermilion? I don't have any idea.
I believe it's about a mile.
Only a mile. Okay. Yeah. It looks really long.
Yeah. It.
Thanks.
And Mr. Chairman, my question is, does that? I'm not sure what river that is on the right. Can't read it. Does that go out to Lake Superior?
No, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, that does not go to Lake Superior. That goes to Lake Vermilion, and then the river, as I remember, narrows on down and goes out to the east of town. And the final destination, Mayor, do you know the final destination?
Well, actually, this river here is called the East Two River. Oh. This is the East Two River, and it drains from a swamp basin between Ely and Tower, and it flows into Lake Vermilion, and this eventually works its way up to Hudson Bay, goes into the Vermilion River to Crane Lake.
That's what we were trying to figure out. Thank
okay,
you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion to lay the bill over.
Very well. Decision. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Leave your card. I might want to call you later.
I might want to buy a lot. I move we adjourn.
We are adjourned.